Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. Today on Live Talk, we're discussing latest political developments in the United States, which saw President Joe Biden bowing out of the 2024 presidential race. Biden made the announcement yesterday and endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris to replace him. The Democratic Party will have its convention next month, where it will announce its candidate for the presidential race to contest against Republican Party nominee Donald Trump. But first, let's take a look at what is happening here in the United States. After weeks of speculation and intense pressure from within his own Democratic Party, U.S. President Joe Biden's decision to end his re-election campaign and endorse Vice President Kamala Harris as his successor sent shockwaves across the nation Sunday. VOA's Richard Green has more on how Biden's withdrawal reshapes the 2024 race for the White House.
People lined the streets outside the White House Sunday evening, hours after President Biden's announcement, with many expressing their support for his decision.
For me, President Biden was the greatest climate president that we've had, and he delivered an opportunity for us to stop climate change, and I'll be forever grateful for that.
I'm very fond, if that's the right word, of Joe Biden and what he's done, and I would like him to be remembered as a really great president. And I was sort of afraid that his frailty would detract from that.
Biden was already trailing former Republican President Donald Trump in voter opinion surveys before the nationally televised debate last month. His frail and confused appearance sparked fears among congressional Democrats and other influential party leaders that the 81-year-old Biden would not only lose the rematch against his 2020 opponent, but bring down other Democratic candidates in key House and Senate races. Gary Schmidt, a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute Policy Research Group, says Biden's withdrawal may have resurrected his party's chances, but it brings up other challenges as well.
The real question is whether Kamala Harris, who's a liberal Democrat from California, will have electoral strength in places like Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, which the Democrats need to win to hold on to the presidency.
Peter Loge, an associate professor of media and public affairs at George Washington University, says Harris is facing another uphill battle with just 4 months to go before the election.
Part of the polling that we're seeing now about Vice President Harris is she's not named Joe Biden because most people don't know her. She was elected statewide in California twice. She's very smart. She's sharp. She's a prosecutor. She's run obviously nationally when she ran with Biden for vice president. So she knows what she's doing, and Democrats largely know her, but she doesn't have the national profile that obviously President Trump or President Biden does.
Harris vowed to do everything in her power to unite the Democratic Party and the nation to defeat Trump in November. She attracted scores of endorsements from fellow Democrats, including several who could challenge her nomination at next month's convention in Chicago. But Gary Schmidt says the outcome is not a foregone conclusion.
I mean, perhaps you don't want a convention that's completely wide open because then it becomes, it tears the party apart as opposed to rallying around one particular candidate. On the other hand, there's probably a lot of Democratic pollsters who are wondering whether Kamala Harris really is the best choice.
Richard Green, VOA News.
Thank you, Richard. The leader of one of the country's opposition parties, Douglas Monzora of the MDC, says he supports the move taken by the U.S. President Joe Biden to step down at the end of his first term.
I think President Biden was very gracious. He was very realistic. He listened to the advice by members of his party. It is clear that age is taking the better of him. And he looked at what is in the best interest first of his country, and secondly, what is in the best interest of his party. And this is what is to be emulated. He is 81 and he is past his prime. This is a good example for many African leaders. While some African leaders are seeking a third term. Even at the age of President Biden, we saw Abdoulaye Wade in Senegal. We are talking about the third term in Zimbabwe. That debate has not died down. We have a president who clearly says he's past his prime, and he is calling it quits and handing over to his deputy, a younger candidate, or whoever the Democratic Party is going to choose. This is a good example of democracy and abnegation on the part of the President Biden of the United States.
That was the leader of one of the country's opposition parties, Douglas Munzora of the MDC in Harare. Zimbabwean President Emmerson Mnangagwa today urged for peace and order to prevail in the country as Zimbabwe hosts the Southern African Development Community SADC Summit next month. Mnangagwa made the remarks at the burial of national hero, the late Brigadier General retired Dr. Michael Chaminuka at the National Heroes Acre in Harare today. Chaminuka, aged 62, died on 13th July after a short illness.
I commend the government and people of our country who are accelerating preparations and the works related to the hosting of the 44th SADC Summit of Heads of State and Government, where we will assume the chairmanship of SADC. This historic event is preceded by the SADC Industrialization Week, which will be running next week from the 28th of July to 2nd of August. Our industry and commerce sectors and institutions of higher education, as well as our entrepreneurs, innovators, micro, small, and medium enterprises are encouraged to leverage on this event to further leapfrog our country's ongoing industrialization and modernization drive. Meanwhile, I call upon all the stakeholders, including the private sector, to partner my administration and other local authorities to enhance the environmental ambience, the cleanliness and the beauty of our cities in preparation for the summit and indeed into the future. We shall do it.
That was President Emmerson Mnangagwa speaking at the National Shrine today. The High Court has thrown out two cases against Job Sikala of the National Democratic Working Group, NDWG. Sikala returned to Zimbabwe yesterday after undergoing 4 months of medical treatment abroad. We managed to bring Mr. Sikala on Live Talk. Thank you, Mr. Sikala, for joining us. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for inviting me to this very important program.
Thank you. Mr. Sikala, your two cases have been thrown away. What is your reaction and what are you planning to do?
The dismissal of the convictions that were procured by the state against me on two cases, from the law that does not exist in Zimbabwe, which I was convicted and fined $500. And also the conviction which the state procured was on the case of inciting public violence to revenge the murder of Mo Blessing Ali. So all these convictions with the state procured early this year, I knew that there were state convictions. One on the basis that the state conviction was procured out of a charge from the law that does not exist. Then the second one, there was absolutely no iota of evidence with the state produced in court. But they demonstrate at high executive public areas. So all this was done to justify my 595 days of incarceration at the National Prison. When I was denied bail, after having applied for bail 8 times, what you know was in the Supreme Court. So my reaction is that I am angry for it to be abused. It's not a joke for someone to suffer for 595 days. I'm living in solitary confinement, always in chains, like a terrorist, when I have not committed an offense. So specifically, I am going to sit down with my legal practitioners to see how we are going to react to the injustices that have been perpetrated against me.
Are you planning, Mr. Sikala, are you planning to sue the government?
This kind of criminality cannot be allowed to go unpunished. This is definitely going to happen. Spending almost 2 years in prison when you have not committed any offense. And after that, you are not found guilty. Cannot go unpunished. Definitely, I will sue the state.
And what lessons can you say you have learned from your incarceration?
Pardon?
Mungati mi makabatwa sei pamanga muri muusungwa uyezve kune vakateerera zvizvo mukade kuti vazive pamusoro peupenyu wenyu pari zvino.
I have always been saying it. I have been denied visits from my family and also from friends. Until I had to seek a court order. I've been denied to be given, to be provided food with my family. Number two, when I became sick, the prison officers refused me to be treated by the medical doctor of my own choice, which is one of the cardinal and fundamental rights that are provided for in our constitution. Number three, I was always kept in chains. When I have not committed any crime, and some of these chains have injured me several times, I think you even saw one of the photos that went viral when I was in chain after having become sick and on a hospital bed, on a sleeping dose, they kept me in chains. I was kept in solitary confinement, where even the breathing air was not available. So fundamentally, the level of humiliation that I got from the state during the period of my incarceration when I did not commit any offense is the one that is enraging me.
Uh-huh.
I will definitely...
Thank you so much, Mr. Sikala. Unfortunately, your line seems to be breaking up, but thank you so much. That was Mr. Job Sikala of the National Democratic Working Group in Harare. With that, let's take a short break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. Back to our main topic. Today on Live Talk, we are discussing the stepping down of President Joe Biden as the candidate for the Democratic Party in this year's election. And to discuss this issue, we are joined via Skype by Thabang Nare, an independent political analyst, Pearl Matsibe, a political analyst, and Xavier Savare of ZANU-PF. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So I will start off with the lady, Ms. Matsibe. Welcome to the program. Please take us through what scenarios we are likely to see following the stepping down of President Joe Biden as the Democratic Party candidate and his endorsement of Vice President Kamala Harris.
Well, just for context, last week I was on the ground at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee in Wisconsin, where former President Donald Trump accepted his nomination. So we know that he is the guy that is going to be on the ballot, and he received overwhelming, solid support from his supporters. Now, he had not anticipated, right? The Republican Party had a strategy that they were going to be going up against President Biden. That strategy yesterday is going to have to be revamped, because now he's going to be going up against someone. We don't know for sure yet that it will be Kamala Harris. That will still be decided at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. So I will go to Chicago, and hopefully we will see what happens, what will happen then, because there could be other contenders, right? Right now, there is, even though there are endorsements coming in supporting Kamala Harris, there is a sense that people do not want this to be seen as being anti-democratic, that the process is not just simply a coronation, that, you know, she's not just simply being anointed to become the nomination, but she has to earn it. And so in the first 5 hours yesterday, she already was on the phones and trying to raise money. In fact, she raised more than $27.5 million in the first 5 hours. So you ask, what is happening? President Biden's, even his staff, were not informed. Literally, they found out 1 minute before he went public with it yesterday. Pressure had been mounting. He had said that he was all in and he had intended to continue to be the candidate. The question now becomes, the Democratic Party went through the primary process in elections, and more than 14 million Americans voted for him to become their candidate. So they're going to have to thrash out some technicalities here to see how best they can come up with a process that is transparent, a process that can be perceived as being democratic, that will finally decide who will be that candidate who will represent the Democrats come November. But remember, there's only about 107 days or so to the voting day, and between today and the National Convention, there is exactly 4 weeks. So the Democrats have a month, and so there's a lot of work to be done. Back to you.
Thank you so much. Mr. Savare, welcome to the program. What is your view on what we are seeing happening here in the United States?
Well, I mean, United States is a superpower and a big player in international politics, and, of course, there is, of course, an element of it which is of meddling in other sovereign countries' politics, be it in Europe or in Africa or in Asia. And it's for us, we are just observing and watching to see how they practice their democracy. I think those close to Barack Obama are bringing in an interesting take to this issue, because everyone was expecting Barack Obama to endorse Kamara with the speed of lightning, but he hasn't done so. He seems to suggest that there shouldn't be a coronation, rather there should be a contestation of views, and basically he's basically saying there should be others allowed to go for the presidential nominee for the Democrat Party, and we will see if his views is carried by many who prophesy to be Democrats within the Democratic Party. So because the likes of Clinton and his wife, they've already endorsed Kamala in anticipation, or rather in a way that is meant to kind of circumvent the usual processes of nomination within the party itself. So we are just observers. Of course, we observe with interest. Like I said, America is a superpower. There were years gone by when it used to be say, if America sneezes, the world catches a cold. Of course, because of the emergence of China and Russia rebuilding itself, and of course, even the European Union also being decently strong economically, it's no longer that case. Of course, it's the case in terms of Britain, for example, because Britain is still largely dependent on America, even though you know America is pretty much a former colony of the British Empire. But we are just observers.
Thank you so much. Over to you, Mr. Nare on Skype. Welcome to the program. From your observation, what are we likely to see happening regarding this situation of the stepping down of President Joe Biden as the presidential candidate for the Democratic Party, bearing in mind that the Republican Party has already chosen their nominee, who is Donald Trump? What do you think we are likely to see happening?
Thank you, Marvelous. It does look like things are moving very fast. We must celebrate President Joe Biden for his lifetime of public service. He came in well over 52 years ago, 1972, as a senator. And it looks like he has done the right thing to step down. And he has now endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris and so many other public leaders in the Democratic Party have thrown their weight behind Kamala Harris. The challenge, though, is Kamala Harris is a talented, she's a smart, hard worker, and she should be up to the task. But there might just be some cultural issues that we saw in 2016, that America was not ready for a woman president former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton contested then on the Democratic ticket. And the question now is, will they be ready for Vice President Kamala Harris to be the first president? I think she was the first vice president as a woman. Now she would be the first president. So those are some of the hurdles that are likely to be there. But in terms of momentum on the ground, as Pearl was saying, it does look like there's quite a bit of momentum. As of now, they are talking about well over $84 million US dollars that she has raised in funding for her political campaign. And she's been reaching out to different governors in different states, getting endorsements. So in terms of name recognition, she's recognized. She has been part of the team that has been delivering. But there are those questions in the background, whether the generality of the American citizens, especially those who are independent or who are hanging on the fence there, will put their vote for her. She is a strong candidate.
Mm-hmm. Still with you, I'm going to ask you to respond in Ndebele. We are seeing that the Democrats or Democratic Party still has a convention to go to next month. Is the time not going to be a factor in what we're seeing developing right now?
Yeah, well, I'm marvelous. We can use Kati SSC corner, lapha sesisiluthwane. Inqathi sikhuluma ngamaviki amane, 4 weeks. Ukuthi bonke abantu baza hlangana eChicago bevela kuma states wonke awe-US bebe mbono munye bekhuluma into efana nayo ukuthi hayi Tina osenza smela lapha ku election ka president ngulo. So u vice president Kamala Harris inxa yokuthi kade esema office khona ngale White House ungani kungcono kuye abantu abaningi bamazi kodwa kulabanye kade bekhulunywa njengo ugovernor weCalifornia uGavin Newsom abanye layo kade besithi hayi indoda ekhanye isebenza kanzima la ingangena khona lapho so uza kumele kusetshenzwe masinyane kuhlangane kube le unity ukuthi kukhanye sibili ukuthi kusetshenzwa ndawonye kubuya uhlupha nje abanye kade sebethe bona hayi njengoba selikhipha uBiden kulo congresswoman weTexas owaziwayo kuthiwa ngu-Crockett kade sethe ha mina mbona ngani hayi andisoze nisebenzelane lani sebenzani lina. So ubunzima obukhona ukuthi wonke umuntu inkokheli zonke ziqoqwe zihlangane zivumelane ukuthi amandla wonke kasetshenziswe ukuthi kukhankaselwe yena loyo yabe sekhethiwe eseyinomini yamademokrasi.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Coming back to you, Vasavare, mungaonawo pane zvingadzidzwa here neZimbabwe pane zvatiri kuona zviri kuitika imo muno muAmerica, Vasavare?
Well, my democracies are Russian. America has got their type of democracy. The United Kingdom has got its own form of democracy. And the Netherlands have got their own form of democracy. Israel has got its own form of democracy. As is India, it has got its own form of democracy. Russia has got its own form of democracy. So, yes, these are one or two things. Because learning is something that is always a process that is always going on, and it is important to learn. For the process of America right now, it is our hope and expectation that former President Donald Trump as we take it, because it doesn't reflect well. My countries are need to look up to America in terms of democracy. But then the unfortunate thing is America has got a history. You put all my leaders anyway, from Abraham Lincoln to Ronald Reagan, now to Donald Trump. So no one has a difference in my democracies, in my institutions, with Anno Rana, as I say. Yes, you can. There are one or two things you can always learn, but I think it's really important. Joe Biden is for leaders to recognize when they are not well in terms of their health, and accept that they can't continue as leaders because you are poor. Because ultimately, what has forced Joe Biden to step down is not age, is health.
Asika tinoona kuAfrica vazavare tinovazavare
yako yaramba sviduruka usiye vamwe kwete kuti unoramba kuti ngoda kushingirira yavamurwere kuti need a help and support yavamwe kuti utano wako rambo chenderera mberi. So for that I kind of applaud you, but I feel that he left it too late because utano wako wagara uchizikanwa for a long time since I was right. And he should have accepted that. Remember, even when he ran in 2020, there were question marks about his health. And more so early this year, in February and stuff, it became much clearer, no, health yake deteriorated. And at that point, I think it would have been fair for him to step down and give his party a good chance. Because right now, much as everyone is trying to be positive and, you know, and the reality is whoever is taking over.
Thank you, Mr. Zavare. Mr. Nare, just your last word in 2 seconds. What's your last word?
So just to say that as Zimbabweans, we also are looking forward to that day when public leaders can, you know, step down and say, I have done my bit.
Thank you.
And the younger generation of leaders can take over.
Thank you so much. And that brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.